Hallelujah. Praise God. Go ahead. Go ahead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're just going to share a brief word, and then we're going to close. And just very briefly, we're going to look at Exodus chapter 3. And in Exodus chapter 3, we're going to start right there in verse 1. And we're going to skip around a couple of verses. Looking in Exodus chapter 3. Exodus, of course, the beginning of your Bible. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Now Moses," a very familiar story, Exodus chapter 3, verse 1, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, 'I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up.'" And I'm not going to read some of these verses. We know some of the experiences that happened. The Lord speaks to him from the bush. I'm going to go on to the same chapter, verse 18. We have the Moses moving forward after the bush experience. And actually, I'm going to look at Exodus chapter 4, verse 18. After Moses has experienced all the conversations he had with the Lord in the bush, and the Lord tells him this, that, and the other. But then in chapter 4, verse 18, it says, "Then Moses went back to Jethro, his father-in-law," after the Lord had given Moses all these commands. "Moses went back to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him," to Jethro, "'Let me go back to my own people in Egypt to see if any of them are still alive.' Jethro said, 'Go, and I wish you well.'" Then staying in the same book, moving forward and towards the end of the book of Exodus, verse 18, chapter 18 rather, chapter 18, verse 1, Moses has now gone back to Egypt and has actually led the Israelites out through an Exodus out from Egypt, and now we're on the other side of that whole Exodus experience. And in chapter 18 of Exodus, it says, "Now Jethro, the priest of Midian and the father-in-law of Moses, heard of everything God had done for Moses and his people Israel, and how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt." Moving down to verse 5. "Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, together with Moses' son and wife, came to him," to Moses, "in the desert, where he was camped near the mountain of God. Jethro had sent word to him, 'I, your father-in-law Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons.' So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and bowed down and kissed him." They greeted each other, so forth and so on. Verse 9, "Jethro was delighted to hear about all the good things the Lord had done for Israel in rescuing them from the hand of the Egyptians." Verse 13, "Next day Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening. When his father-in-law, Jethro, saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he," Jethro, "said, 'What is this you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge while all those people stand around you from morning till evening?' Moses answered him, 'Because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me and I decide.'" Verse 17, "Moses' father-in-law replied, 'What you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you.' 19, 'Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them the decrees.'" Verse 21, "Select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens." Verse 24, Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. The current title of this brief word is, Who is Your Jethro? Who is your Jethro? We see where we read back in Exodus chapter 3, we're familiar with the fact that Moses had a burning bush experience. God spoke to him and gave him some directives as to what he should do to go back to Egypt and to minister and to deliver God's people, the Israelites, from their bondage. But it's interesting to note that Moses didn't go back to his father-in-law, Jethro, in whose camp he was living at the time, and say, I am up and out of here. God spoke to me and laid up for you. Wouldn't see you, wouldn't want to be you. He did not have that attitude at all. It said that Moses went to Jethro and had a dialogue with him. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 18, Moses went back to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, let me go back to my own people in Egypt to see if any of them are still alive. And we see that Jethro was quite favorable in whatever the discussion. We don't have all the ups and downs of the conversation, but Jethro said, go, and I wish you well. And we see that the nature of the relationship was such that after Moses went through all his adventures and got to the other side of it, when Jethro came to embrace, hey, son-in-law, how's it going on, and looked into Moses' life and saw what Moses was doing then, they had the strength of relationship enough so that Jethro could say, oh, son-in-law, listen, come here. Wow, you know, I see all you're doing, and it's important, don't get me wrong. I can see it's important, but have you thought about doing it this way versus that way? Because if you do it this way, man, you know, it's going to wear yourself out. What you need to do is delegate and do this and that. And it said that Moses said, you know what, Pops, you're right. I'll do everything you said. You didn't hear Moses say, Jethro, don't you know what I've been through? Did you not read the press report? Didn't you Google the situation? Did you see, I delivered the entire country of Israel out of the hands of them rascals here. I am all that and a bag of chips. You weren't even here. You didn't even see. I mean, there was 10 plagues, not one, not two, not three, 10 plagues. And guess who the Lord used? I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying? And you come here, Johnny come lately. I got some things and you were trying to tell me what to do. That didn't happen. What happened was Moses said, you know what, you're right. That is an excellent idea, Jethro. And Jethro's not even his dad. Jethro is his father-in-law. And some of us would hardly receive from our dad, much less our father-in-law. And so all of us need to have people like that who can speak into our lives. And so who is your Jethro? And in fact, the title or the question really should be, who are your Jethros? Because there should be a number of people that can speak into your life. Proverbs 11:14 in King James Version says, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counsel, there is safety. The NIV says it this way, for lack of guidance, a nation falls, but many advisors make victory sure. Amen. So who are your Jethros? And there are different types of relationships you can have. There may be, of course, a kind of explicit authority relationship, or you may have a boss over you. You better do what they say, or they might not be your boss for long. You may have a sports coach if you're a young child, or a teacher, a professor, or when you're a small child, a parent. And those are kind of explicit authority relationships, yes. And you may not have selected those people to be an authority over you, but they are an authority over you, so it would behoove you to follow their explicit direction. So that's one category. But there are other categories of folks who aren't necessarily assigned or placed over you. There may be a pastor, and that's someone you choose to be under their spiritual authority. There may be mentors, and you are fortunate and blessed. You've got someone a mentor who's actively looking to help you and direct you and look over your life. That's what Jethro was to Moses in that situation. Jethro was a mentor. I said, look, Moses, here's what I see. I've got some experience. You can learn from my experience. Then you have role models. Role models are someone that they may not even know you, but you can look at their life from a distance and say, wow, so-and-so who is in such and such a role, I see how they do in their discipline or in their organization. Wow, I can learn from that. That's a role model. You know, and you know what? A role model can be living or dead. A role model can be dead. You can look at someone who has accomplished something in the past and say, wow, I can learn from what that person did. And then you have accountability partners. Those are people that may be horizontal relationships. You may call it accountability partner. You may call it a board of advisors. But these are people who may be on your same level, friends, if you will. But you have decided to open your kimono and lay bare some of the things you're doing and listen to the counsel and the insight, thank you, for what they can share and point out some things in your life and learn from that. And don't necessarily reject it out of hand. And then lastly, you may have people like therapists or non-sports coaches, trainers, counselors, adult parents, and these are people, again, who may have words of advice and counsel. Now, they are flawed like you are flawed. And so not everything they say necessarily will be spot on. And as different ones have said from time to time, okay, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater just because one thing is wrong. So take what you can. As one has said, eat the fish but throw away the bones. Don't just stop eating fish because there's a bone in it. Just take the bone out and eat the nice meat part of the fish and be nourished by it.
Amen.
So get the counsel, utilize it. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And so we are in this together, and we need to buff each other, sharpen each other. And sometimes when iron hits iron, sometimes there's sparks.
Amen.
But that's okay. But that's okay. That means you're both strong. And if you weren't both strong, they wouldn't sharpen. If I took a sponge and tried to sharpen some iron, it wouldn't be any sparks, but there wouldn't be any sharpening either. So learn from that. And Proverbs 13:20 says, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. So select some strong men and women around you as your accountability partners. Select some role models, select a pastor, select some mentors, and learn from it. Select your Jethros. Get the right mentors. And that's what, in closing, that's what, for example, Paul was to Timothy.
Amen.
Paul was that to Timothy. We look over here in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, and Paul is giving Timothy some counsel, some advice. Paul says to Timothy, but you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith.
Yes.
Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So let's fight the good fight of faith as we identify who our Jethros are and walk in their counsel. Say blessings on three. One, two, three.
Blessings.
Be blessed.
Hallelujah.